The text for this morning is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. So what will be the next big, shocking news story that we hear maybe this week or in the days ahead? What will be the next sensational story that really grips us to the core? Is it going to be another shooting on a college campus? Seems to come up about every year. Is there going to be a new terrorist attack or a new terrorist cell discovered? Is there going to be another story of corporate greed? Will there be some new serial killer discovered, some new vicious murder that's taken place? Will it be a situation of a child who's been suffering under abuse that's finally been discovered about? Will it be a new strain of the flu virus, or maybe a brand new disease we never even thought about before? It's amazing to see all of the different ways that evil can be around us in the world. In this day and age that we live in, with the internet and with 24-hour news cycles and so much information coming at us, we just get so bombarded with all of the trouble that's out there in the world and the evil that goes on that sometimes we almost get immune to hearing about it and become almost kind of jaded to it. It almost doesn't shock us anymore. It has to have even a larger, more shocking nature to it to really grip us to the core. But we don't have to always just look to the internet or the TV or magazines and newspapers to know about the presence of evil in the world. We just look in our lives. We just think about what happens to us in our lives. Why is it that we have to deal with people saying things about us that may harm our reputation? Why do we have to be so concerned about that? Why do we have to be so concerned about locking our doors and having passwords? And why do we have to be so concerned about the potential of theft and so on? Why do we have to suffer the loss of loved ones in our family? Why do I have to deal with my own prospect of dying someday? Why is it so hard for me to finally conquer my pet sin? In the text for us today, God chooses to use the imagery of war when he describes the presence of evil in the world. And just like soldiers who today could be equipped with night vision goggles to be able to see an enemy that prior to that they had not been able to see, God here in a sense lifts the veil on why all of this evil is present in the world. And he permits us to recognize the real source of all of it when he says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And just like a convicted convict who's on his way to the gas chamber, who fights with the guards and is suddenly agitated because of his fate, so it is with the devil. His animosity toward the kingdom of God and toward those who belong in that kingdom by faith in Christ, his animosity toward the church is enraged because he knows his fate. In just a few verses following our text, we are told about him. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. It's interesting how things often go in war and how we can sometimes be tempted in this war that our Lord is describing for us to forget about our enemy, or to maybe kind of lose respect for his viciousness and the way he might attack. During the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein had sent his troops into Kuwait and we went over to try to liberate Kuwait, the U.S. Army selected General Norman Schwarzkopf on purpose because Schwarzkopf, during his days at West Point, for years had studied the tactics of Saddam Hussein and the way he often operated. One of the first rules of war is to know your enemy and to respect his tactics, to respect the ways that he may choose to attack in this world. There are many today who try to deny the existence of the devil. There are many today who deny the existence of hell. It just seems like too bad of a place for us to get our minds around, and so it's easier to just pretend to ourselves it doesn't exist. Polls show that more than half of the people in the state of Minnesota don't even believe there is such a place as hell. But stop for a moment and think about the real things we know about suffering in this world. Think of all of the real horrific trouble that man can experience in this life. Think of how extremely awful things can be around the world in situations maybe where there's war, where people are trying to completely annihilate another people. Think about those who have to deal with dying in fire, those who struggle with disease for years. Think of the pain and the abuse that individual people can inflict upon each other. Now imagine if you could take all of that pain and that hurt and that difficulty in the world and pile it together into one spot. If we can witness in this world with our eyes and our senses, even an atheist can witness this type of trouble and this kind of evil in the world, why is it so hard for us to imagine that a place like hell couldn't exist, or that an enemy who can perpetrate this type of trouble in the world could exist? So God wants us to respect this enemy and to understand what his ultimate goal is, to drag us to that pile. And at the same time, our Lord, through these words, wants us to recognize that our greatest enemy still has a weakness. He's not invincible. We're told the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out. As tough and as mean and as nasty and as vicious as he is and can be, and with all the potential that he has, he is still no match for the powers of heaven and for the powers of the kingdom of God and of his Christ. In fact, to demonstrate that, in order to defeat this wicked foe of ours, God has chosen to wage the war in ways that you might say are really very tiny and seemingly insignificant and very small. Think about it. He chose to fight him rather than through the vast array of angelic hosts, instead through a little baby that comes through the womb of a virgin into this world. To fight the devil in the very body of the lowly son of a carpenter, who later gets treated like a common criminal and hung up to die like many others have been. And how does he fight that battle and give you and me the victory over it? To show his superiority, he does it in very lowly ways, just a handful of water and a few words spoken, by putting bread and wine blessed with his words on our tongue, by coming to us through just words that are spoken to us from the Word of God. What a statement of the superior power of our gracious and loving God. That he can take all of his authority and domination over the devil himself, with all of the evil that he can perpetrate in this world, but that God can take all of his power and superiority and tuck it just into a few sentences of words. In fact, as Luther says in his hymn, one little word can fell him. And that's why God directs us always back to his word. That's why at the end of this very revelation given to St. John, in the final verses, God says, "Do not take away from my word and do not add to my word." but just stay with it. Because this alone is the one weapon that can defeat this evil foe. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.